means God is rising. The name Nipsey in that same language means homie, a brother from the hood that never really left the hood, but now the whole world will embrace him as his life and his death changes the hood and produces a profound change in the world. To all of us who are here, who come to pay our respect to this prophetic soul, who is to hip-hop and rap what Bob Marley was to reggae. He is the prophetic voice of all in that community. What do I mean by that? He lived the gang life, but he didn't stay there. He lived the life of the hood.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. That was, of course, Reverend Lewis, Minister Lewis Farrakhan, speaking at the funeral of Nipsey Hussle. His funeral was taking place at this moment. Quite a few places are doing a live streaming. During the last hour, I said that our word was perspicacity, which talks about a penetrating discernment. Our second word of today, folks, like a classroom here, is Sankofa. Now, Sankofa is from the Twi language of Ghana, and it actually translates to mean go back and get it. Now, if you've ever seen the picture of the Sankofa bird, it's a bird where the feet are facing forward, the head is facing back, and it's carrying an egg in its mouth. It's flying forward but facing back. In other words, it's a reminder that even as we move forward, we have to remember from whence we came. There's a whole idea around Sankofa, and it says it's not wrong for you to go back for that which you have forgotten. We fly forward, but we remember that from which we came. So you're probably thinking, how does perspicacity, this penetrating discernment, Sankofa, a bird flying forward with his head facing or her head facing backward, what does that have to do with Nipsey Hussle and with me? Folks, all of it is connected, because I think that this is a moment for us as people of color, as Black folks here in Baltimore City, that it's time for us to take a real, hard, loving look at who we are and who we want to be. When I hear things from my producer that four people were shot on her way to work this morning, when I look at the news where they had 45 shell casing and there's a playground not too far from this big Wild Wild West shootout that took place just less than 2 weeks ago, when I think about the fact that we've already had 75 homicides this year and countless upon countless shootings, is disturbing to me. I think this is a moment when I look at the impact of Nipsey Hussle, someone I wasn't even aware of when he was alive. My sons knew more about Nipsey Hussle than I did. And my sons challenged me to go and look at his work, because what Nipsey Hussle was doing the type of thing I'd like to do. Not rapping, because that is not my thing, but taking your money and investing your money into your own community, setting up shops in your own community, employing young men and women in your own community, giving them a launch pad for who they could be in this world. Perspicacity is calling us to have a penetrating discernment. Sankofa is calling us to move forward while being reminded of who we used to be. And why do we don't have to go back there? Folks, we don't have to go back to where we used to be. We can, as people, go forward. But we can't go forward if we don't know from whence we came. 410-319-8888. We're talking about Nipsey Hussle. But we're using Nipsey Hussle as a lens through which to talk about violence in Baltimore, to talk about what's happening with our children in Baltimore. And it's a challenge to you parents out there. Are you aware of the leaders who are shaping the minds and hearts of your children? Because Nipsey Hussle was somebody they was listening to. They were listening to Nipsey Hussle. And if you don't know who Nipsey Hussle was, then you need to get connected. Because some of his music was extremely positive, and some of it might be shaping your child in a way that maybe you may not even recognize them anymore. 410-319-8888. I was talking to Teron before we went to break. I'll go back to him. How are you? Thank you for holding.
I'm good. Thank you, Dr. K.
Yes, please continue, sir.
It's I don't have a scripted thing to say over the radio because it's heartfelt.
Okay.
You know, I feel like you just finished saying that all of us need to actually research into this guy, this young man, because he did do a lot of reinvesting himself,
right,
not just the finances and whatever else. You know, you think that he might just, oh, he's a rapper.
Right.
Well, I think just as though a preacher in church, sometimes you may, you have to bring people, you have to bring the flock to you,
right,
and then you develop a need to change the message to reach the young people. And my point is, how are we going to change the mentality of our race to actually take care of one another and not keep going down this spiraling, this violent, not caring type of attitude? Is getting worse.
Right.
And like I said, it's so much on my mind. It's very disturbing. And, you know, everybody was really crying and everything over Tupac, but I raised the question of Nipsey Hussle did so much.
Right.
And he didn't just say it in song. Some of his songs were still like they were in the street. Don't get me wrong.
Right, yes, I'm saying there's some of them you kind of say, I understand why they sold, but some of
right.
them spoke a little differently, I would say.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. But I feel like just like, okay, I'm a plumber at work. I'm a maintenance guy. And I raised the question, like, it's just us. It's the lower class that makes the job, that keeps the wheels turning.
I would agree with us that.
In the community, we have to keep these wheels turning in our community. We have a failing leadership. You know, these kids out on the corners, they squeegee kids, they used to be in the PAL Center. They took all of them away.
Right.
I know I'm getting into another issue, and I'm not going to hold you up, but there's so much to look at just from this one death.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we thought it was important to talk about it, because it's more than just Nipsey Hussle. I mean, people can say, oh, he was just a rapper. But I do think when you look at that stadium right now, Teron, and the thousands of people who are there and the ways in which you have all these. I mean, I don't remember a funeral like this.
No.
It's had this kind of impact. I understand Aretha Franklin, but I'm looking at Aretha Franklin's long-term impact. Nipsey Hussle was a young man.
Yep.
And it had this kind of worldwide impact that I think is important to delve into. But I also think it's important to Rom to use Nipsey Hussle as a challenge to us. Because what are we doing to help to build up our own community?
I just hope, I wish and hope, and I'm going to end it. I wish and hope that his death is not in vain and that it will change us as a people.
I like that. Thank you so much, Teron. I want to go to a clip of Nipsey Hussle talking about community building. Why don't we take a quick listen to it?
My career started right here. This community put me on.
Yes, sir.
Nipsey started in this parking lot on the corner of Slauson and Crenshaw. He used to sell his unsigned mixtapes out of the trunk of his car. Now,
you actually own half of this lot.
Yeah, me and my family, Black Sam, Adam, my pops, you know, the whole team.
He also owns Marathon Clothing Store, which not only sells his label, but lets his visitors use an app to enhance their shopping experience.
We playing a long game. We don't want the money to stop when we go. When we can't work no more, we want it to outlive us. We want it to be generational. You know,
and Next Door, a basic needs shop. Yeah, exactly. They sell everything from prepaid cell phones to fragrances. And at both stores, Nipsey hired local artists.
It's Tanny.
Hi, Tanny. I'm Leah.
Partners and up-and-coming artists.
At the end of this year, Nipsey will also open a barber shop.
And so we gonna call this Steve's. And it's named after my homeboy, Fast. You know what I mean? This is a tattoo of him right here. He was murdered last year.
And a Creole seafood restaurant.
And everything. All of equipment was brand new.
All of these businesses are family owned and operated. Nipsey says businesses are only part of the change. For true change, he's starting with kids at 54th Street Elementary, an area plagued by violence.
Yeah, I think it's just about offering a new identity, you know? Like it's not weak to be strong. It ain't weak to be to make smart moves.
He hired a local artist to help spruce up this basketball court.
And I see in the inside, it's got safety, respect, friendship, kindness, community, principles,
to live by.
And in attempt to attract entrepreneurs to the community. His latest business venture is Vector 90, a co-working space in the Crenshaw District.
It's very important that co-working spaces or spaces like this exist in...
So, folks, that was just an interview with Nipsey Hussle. What I think is interesting, if you think about his life, the fact that he was also working on something called Too Big to Fail. And it was a STEM center and maker space for youth in Los Angeles' Crenshaw neighborhood for young black boys and girls to do STEM, folks, science, technology, engineering, and math. I know you may not know who Nipsey Hussle is. You may not. You may be like me. You're not clear. Believe me, your children do, because he had an impact on their lives. I think Nipsey Hussle is a challenge to all of us. I do. Because the question that I'm asking myself, am I doing as much in my community as Nipsey Hussle did in his? Think about that. Am I spending money in my own community? Am I supporting black businesses in my own community? Am I making a way for young people to be motivated and get employment in my own community? Am I as committed to making sure, now this is a hard question, folks, am I as committed to making sure that the person who's in the least position in my community is making it to the same extent as a person in the best position, right? So am I playing respectability politics? And oh, this young man, he's smart, he's respectful, he goes to the school that's the right school, so I'll make sure he's okay. But this young brother here is, I don't like the way his pants are hanging down. I don't like the school he goes to. He's hanging on the street corner. He's not worth it to me. That's what I call respectability politics. We're deciding who's the right kind of black person that's worthy of being saved. Nipsey Hussle, if you just look at his life, said it's the ones that are in the least position are the ones who need us the most. 410-319-8888. I have Sharon on the phone from Baltimore. Sharon, how are you?
Whoa, boy, you just hit me with that one. man, you know, we got to love when these young people. All right, we got to love on these people in Baltimore, these young people. I drive for Lyft, and I heard about the young fellow from 89.3. And when the young people I picked up in the car was asking me all that day, do I know him? Mm. I said, I never heard about him, but tell me about him. These young people was crying.
Wow.
And just saying the impact he had on their life to make them think positive and what direction to go in. We ought to not look on these boys washing these windows. I said people pull the windows up on them. People look straight like they nobody. People turn their water sprinklers on them. I pulled up on one man and said, I can't believe that you did this.
Mm.
Every child, everybody has a purpose, and the enemy is attacking our young people. It's time for us to start praying like we never prayed before, because he's after our generation. And if you've been attacked, that means he done tapped into something. He sees that they got a purpose, and he's trying to destroy some action. Everybody in Baltimore City, please, when you see these young people in the corner, don't even have to know. But go home and pray for them. And I'm telling you, I believe change will come. Everybody ain't going to make it. But I believe if we start praying and believing what we're praying, change is going to come.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Sharon. We have Jeff on the phone from West Baltimore. Jeff, how are you?
Hello.
Hello. Good. How are you?
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Did you want to make a comment about Nipsey Hussle, Jeff?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts. Yeah, I've been listening to his music since maybe about 2008, 2009. Yeah, you know, he kind of rapped about the streets and stuff like that. But, I mean, he always had some good knowledge in his music. And it kind of motivated me over the last few years to kind of do the things that I did with my career and personal life and stuff like that. I had the opportunity to meet him last year at a hotel party at Arundel Mills. And, you know, you can just tell by how the man carried himself that he's definitely, you know, not the ordinary kind of guy. He's very well-spoken. I seen a guy that walked up to him and was like, look, man, I'm trying to get my music out there and things like that. He gave the guy about 5 minutes, talked to him and stuff like that, and exchanged information with him. So he was always very uplifting and willing to give people opportunities and chances and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's definitely a big loss because, you know, when I heard the news, I was devastated. I couldn't even sleep that day.
Wow.
You know, because I knew all of the good that he was doing, you know, and following him over the years, watching him do the things that he said he was going to do, and he did it. So it was very, very tragic to hear about that. And, you know, just crazy. But, you know, he definitely left a good impact on a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, that there were people that, you know, that were there at the party that had no clue who, you know, even any knowledge of who he was. But he just had that kind of impact on people to just kind of make them think of stuff like that. So it was definitely good, you know, just being a part of the whole movement and just seeing him build a foundation and, you know, to where he is now.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Folks, we're talking about Nipsey Hussle, but because we're bought into our two words of the day, and I keep saying that, people are like, why am I banging over your head? Because I know young people are listening. Folks, we got to expand our vocabulary here. Perspicacity, a penetrating discernment, and Sankofa, which is actually a word from Ghana, but it's from the Twi language. And it means going back and getting that which was forgotten. Going forward, but remembering from whence you came. Imagine if we had both perspicacity, a penetrating discernment, and Sankofa about who we are at this moment. Would it demand that we're better? Stephen from Baltimore is next. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you. Yes, the first time I heard about Nipsey Hussle is when all the world was trashing Liberia, Sierra Leone about the Ebola. And the man traveled in South Africa to have a concert, free concert, to get the fund to help people who have Ebola. And since that, we respect him a lot. I heard many people's testimony about how great the man was. He was great, but I will say this. We are our worst enemy. Because as long we want put the same energy that we put in when it's a white man or it's a police shoot our people, we have to understand that mess to keep hurting each other needs to stop. Thank
you. Right. Thank you so much. Yeah, folks, I'm agreeing with you. I am absolutely agreeing. I think that, if I'm making sure I understand the caller correct, that the same kind of anger and frustration that we have when police officers shoot and kill our young black brothers and sisters, we should have the same type of anger. I just want to add with that, because I always get annoyed when people kind of make it seem like it's the same thing. A police officer who is charged and armed to protect and serve our community, who is allowed to carry a weapon because it's a part of their job, just like if you're an engineer, you have your protractor, whatever you carry, the gun is a part of their. With that badge, they carry a certain amount of authority, and we look to them to protect and serve. There is a difference, because we should hold our police officers to a higher standard. Just like we hold our elected officials to a higher standard. If someone is funneling money, you know, off the church fund, I got a real problem with that, right? The deacon's taking money, but I'll be even more angry when the pastor's taking money, because I'm saying I'm holding you to a higher standard. If folks are funneling money on a smaller level, that is different from someone who's the mayor. So all I'm saying is that it's just not the same thing. It's not an either or. It really is an and both conversation. We have Apache on the phone from Maryland. Apache, how are you?
Good, Dr. K. Thank you for accepting my call.
Absolutely.
I want to first and foremost, you know, agree with you on your last comment. You know, as an officer, I hope that the Creator always give me the breath to speak out against police brutality, you know, for the very reasons that you just now said. And that's why all the time, you know, regardless of the consequences to personal self or whatever it might, you know, come, I'm going to always speak out on that, you know, especially from the visibility of being an officer myself. Anytime that I see it happen, regardless of who it happened to or who perpetrated it. On the Nipsey Hussle situation, I just wanted to kind of bring a little more clarity, you know, not just on the man, because a lot of people can call in and speak on their personal experience with him or knowing him or understanding his music. There'll be people that didn't know him at all. Like there were, I'm sure, older people that didn't know Martin Luther King. Who's that guy, you know,
right.
When the situation happened with him. But the community that he chose to serve, you know, I lived in Los Angeles for 10 years. I escaped the 90s, you know, in Baltimore in 96, and I moved to Los Angeles. And the community that he chose to serve, if that was a representation of what we would have as a modern Black Wall Street, you know, from Oklahoma, it would be that community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that as somebody who's traveled the entire country in the military and worked for the government, I've lived in several different countries and foreign countries. Everybody should get a chance, if you can hear this, get a chance if once in your life to visit the Crenshaw Slauson neighborhood. You have the who's who of investors there.
Hold on one second, Apache. I don't want you to hang up because I want to hear the rest of what you're saying. We just have to take a break. Can you hold on to after the break? And we'll come right back to you. Want to hold Apache, folks. When we come back, we have Pam, Leo, and Lance, and I can still have a line open to talk with you. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Just stay with us. Back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we're having a conversation about Nipsey Hussle, but we're using that as a lens to talk about our own commitment. When we started this show at 3 p.m., I had Professor E.R. Shipp on. She is hosting the event with Al Sharpton tonight. She's doing a Q&A with him after he speaks, and then they're opening up to questions from the audience. Additionally, prior to Reverend Al Sharpton speaking, he's going to be on For the Culture with Faraj. They're going to sit down and they're going to talk. I'm trying to find connections between the Reverend Al Sharptons of the world and the Nipsey Hussles of the world. For my children's generation, they're Zillennials. Reverend Al Sharpton is not someone who's on their radar. They see King as an ancient old figure who spoke wisdom long time ago. They don't see that as something that's connected to who they are at this moment. Instead, Dr. King in suits coming by the Boston Theological Seminary, that Dr. King does not line up with Nipsey Hussle from the hood, former gang member selling mixtapes out of his trunk and then buying up property and being there for his people. That's who they see as a leader. Nipsey Hussle is challenging me to think about my own life in much the same way that Dr. King, when he was assassinated, challenged my father to think about his life. Who did he want to be? How did he want to be remembered? My father constantly talks about the impact that Dr. King had on him and the choices he made to be a pastor, to go on to be a bishop. He says, Dr. King is the reason why I took up the Bible as my sword, because of the ways in which Dr. King used the Bible and used theology to challenge people. My sons are being challenged by Nipsey Hussle. not necessarily by his music, but by Nipsey Hussle's responsibility to his community, which I call radical political love. Like, what does radical political love look like in action? It means that those who are in the least position, those are the ones you're willing to help the most. Radical political love. 410-319-8888. We had Apache on hold. Apache, thank you so much for holding. You were talking about the community where Nipsey Hussle really focused on.
Yes. In this community, like I was saying, is in my opinion, my humble opinion, I believe it's the closest that we could get in modern times to a Black Wall Street, making reference of a Black Wall Street from Oklahoma.
Right.
Above this community is Hills, right? They call it the Black Beverly Hills because so many famous and influential Black people have lived there. You know, Ray Charles lived there. Tina Turner has lived there. You know, this is a well-known community in California, not just Los Angeles. You know, and being, when you go to that community, I used to go there to get my hair cut. You know, you could be sitting there. I was sitting there one time and Gabrielle Union is talking to the barber just casually next to me. You know, I just completely messed up my hair cut, you know, trying to look at her. You know, but people could converge there, you know, without all of the pomp and stance and, you know, awe of what they might have done in their everyday life.
Right.
It was a safe place for Blacks to go to rather than getting help, whether they're using some of the services there, whether they want to help the community there. You know, the gangs have a code where they don't do any kind of crimes in that neighborhood. It is well known.
Right.
So for Nipsey Hussle, for them to change the name of the street, the intersection itself, they have a African-American slavery museum in the block behind where he was conducting his business. Okay, this is how important that community is, you know. For them to change that name of that corner intersection to his name, you know, you would have had to been a giant as far as leadership amongst those leaders that's known in that community.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so I just wanted to give a little more context of where he was serving and where he chose to serve at. You know, that is a little Ethiopia, you know, a couple of miles away from there. He could have went there into that community. You know, something more to his heritage. You know, something like that. But he chose to go to where the people were coming for the services, where they wanted to be safe, where every African American in Los Angeles feels like they're safe. You ask anybody from LA, ask them where do you feel safe? They will say that neighborhood.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Apache. You know what, folks? When I think about what Apache just said in terms of, you know, having communities where we feel safe, where we feel protected, where we can converge, where we can converse, communities that we can pour our money into. That is my dream for Baltimore City. People ask me, why do I stay here? I have a dream for Baltimore City. I want Baltimore City to become the place that my father used to hold up when he was growing up. They talked about Baltimore City. I get concerned when I ride through the community and I challenge myself, what am I doing to make things a little bit better? Now, you know, I'm a pastor's daughter. And my dad used to always say, you know, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to stand before God. Now, this is how he would scare us as children. When you die, you're going to have to stand before God. And God's going to ask you, Carsonia, because that's my government name. Carsonia, what did you do to make the world a better place? And he would say, hey, what's your answer going to be? What did you do while you were here? Think of, you know, Schubert's Unfinished Symphony, because, you know, with Schubert's Unfinished Symphony, the music is still in motion, right? So that we should see our lives as being a part of Schubert's Unfinished Symphony, folks, that we come into this place and the music's already playing, but that our challenge is to leave the world a little bit better, to leave the music a little bit sweeter. That's perspicacity, having that persistent, that deep discernment, that Sankofa, the moving forward by looking behind, like that's Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. Come on, folks, we got to make the music a little bit sweeter while you're here. 410-319-8888. I have Pam on the phone from Northwest Baltimore. Pam, how are you?
Hello.
Hello, Pam. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I just wanted to make one comment.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know the Nipsey Hussle, but I see that he was doing great things. And if it was more him, Because there's a couple of rappers that are trying to that bring the money back to their communities. And we need more people to stand up for our communities, to come back and give back.
I agree. I agree. Thank you so much, Pam. We have Leo on the phone. Leo, how are you?
Dr. KY's Whitehead, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, I thank God for the ministry of Nipsey Russell and his courage and his...
Nipsey Hussle. Nipsey Hussle.
What did I call him?
You called him Nipsey Russell, who I knew when I was a child.
Okay.
Nipsey Hussle.
My apologies. Mm-hmm. Nipsey Hussle's ministry and his courage and his leadership. I think, and this is my own sense of where things are going in this country, it's not just, I don't see this as an isolated case of someone just getting mad who's jealous of Nipsey Hussle and killing him. It smells to the high heaven as an assassination.
Yes.
That's the way it feels. And there's an effort afoot by forces within our government and those forces of hate in this country that promote militarism and violence to annihilate our people. And thank God for the kind of Black Wall Street that he created, the black power that he was advocating. He's talking about it spiritually and musically and educationally and all those things. He was a very positive force. And we've got to understand the necessity of trying, however difficult, to protect and defend that which we create. Because we are under attack, not just by police, but by black people who've been programmed by the establishment to kill their brothers and sisters.
Right.
Not all of us love our heritage and culture. And to the extent that we hate ourselves and maintain a mentality, a slave mentality, that's the extent to which a genocide becomes a living reality. And we've got to mobilize and fight to defend ourselves until death. I hope you come to the Roots of Scouting meeting on Monday night. I know you have our number,
yes,
phone
I
number.
Do.
Call
I
me
do.
Back.
Good.
At the Church of St. Cecilia, the third Monday of every month at 7 o'clock from 7 to 9 p.m. We're doing some things with STEM, with youth, families, and community that we think are noteworthy. We don't have all the answers, but we certainly want to partner with all those who want to partner with us. 3301 Windsor Avenue at Hilton Street. Enter from the rear at the Church of St. Cecilia Hall on Monday night, the 15th of April.
All right. Thank you so much, Leo. We have Lance on the phone. Lance, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I guess the only comments I really have to say are, one, I was a fan of Nipsey Hussle, not in the sense of, like, you know, I'm not going to purport that I knew all his music or anything like that, but the one thing I did watch about his career was that he embodied every piece of change he was attempting to put into his music.
Right.
Whether that was, you know, I mean, he rapped about the gang culture, you know, until his last days. But in the midst of those songs, he talked about how, not necessarily how to glorify that, but more along the lines to state that I've done this and you shouldn't have to.
Right. Right.
I really appreciated that about him as an artist. And I look for that in artists all the time, like, you know, other big name artists that relatively are more famous than him, like Kendrick Lamar or, you know, anybody from his camp, Schoolboy Q, et cetera, people who were relatively attached to the gang world but found their way out through music. And I guess in addition to that, I just want to put a testament to, I guess, Nipsey Hussle's, you know, legacy. You know, I heard that, you know, he had gotten, you know, murdered, and within maybe a week, like, after I had never, I'd never known about any of his positive dealings in his community. Never heard anything about it until he died, which I think is a disservice.
Right.
I don't think that had anything to do with him. I mean, he was focused on his grind, on what he was doing.
Right.
But I do feel like it was a disservice in the sense of the overall black community of not really knowing about each other's triumph. You know, like, without knowing, you know, like, take, for instance, not knowing about the South African girl who wins the case about, you know, being able to wear her hair in
school.
That's something that we should all know about, just like we should all know about the positive dealings in every American city or global city anywhere across the globe. And to, I guess, to finalize it, Within a week, as this morning, I opened my business, my first business.
Hey, all right. All right, Lance, I'm so excited for you. I'm going to have you hold on, Lance. You know, let's get his information because we want to make sure we make connections. Lance, congratulations, folks. That is how we do it. We lift as we climb, but we take this work and we challenge ourselves to do more. Thank you, Lance. We have Nikki on the phone from Baltimore. Nikki, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Auntie K?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
No problem. I enjoy your show, but I just wanted to talk about the Nipsey Hussle.
Yes.
Two things. I know people are saying, well, you know, of course not his music. You know, he rapped about that. But the thing is, if you don't rap about your reality, how will we ever allow, you know, I just feel like because people are saying, oh, he rapped about gangs or he rapped about the streets. That was his reality. Right. And that's where he, you know, what he grew up around. And I think that we are kind of looking, trying to like, you know, overshoot that part of his music.
Mm.
And focus on his philanthropy, which is still good. His philanthropy is still good, but I'm just saying, like, we as a people have to allow Malcolm Little to become Malcolm X. And if you don't allow people to grow
right,
from their
there
reality,
you go. There you go.
And how will that ever happen? And second, he has influenced, he didn't go in Crenshaw to take care of people. He empowered people, which is what, you don't have to be, because I know there are people that are saying, well, what more rappers need to come and more rich black people need to come and do that.
Mm.
We can start in our own neighborhood.
Right.
We can start in our own neighborhoods by picking up the simple trash that we throw down on, you know, allowing our neighborhoods to be dirty and dilapidated.
Right.
It can start with us. And that's what he did in his community, is empowered people. He empowered other, you know, these young rappers that are way younger than you and I are teaching financial classes to kids younger than them.
Yes, they
just
are.
It's about financial literacy and all those things. So he did so much for, and you know, his legacy is going to continue to allow, you know, the younger rappers to do more than just, it's more than just jewelry. And that's what
right.
he showed. It's more
like
than
that.
Just jewelry. It's taking care of your community. And the third thing I want to say real quick is just people are looking, it upsets me that people are looking for this as a way out of not helping their community.
There you go.
Because they're saying, see, this is what happens when you help, when you don't take care of your community, or when you do take care of your community, they're just going to go ahead and take your life. No, that's not it. Don't let that be an excuse for you not to do what you are responsible for doing. We all have a responsibility. The government's not going to take care of us. The Kardashians and Jenners aren't going to take care
of us.
It's something we have to do.
There you go. You're preaching, sister. Thank you so much, Nikki. Folks, just came across. I'm looking here at the Twitter feed of Congressmember Bass coming out of the South Los Angeles area, and she has put it in the congressional record. A statement was released today. It's now in the congressional record that the House of Representatives honors the legacy of Nipsey Hussle. They put his full name in here. The name his mother gave him, Aramis. It's Aramis. I'm saying it. It's Aramis. I'm working on it. And his contributions to South Los Angeles. They put this into the record. I'm just going to call him Nipsey because according to Reverend Farrakhan, Nipsey was something that was specifically chosen. And that is part of who he is as well. We had Brad on the phone from Parkville. Brad, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
You know, something interesting. I'll try to be brief. I had never heard of this guy until this happened. And, you know, one of the things that I kind of got on myself about with this, because I'm in my 60s, you know, my late 60s, and sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to kind of, drown out or not listen.
Right.
Someone may be of a particular milieu, and by that I mean, you know, like the rappers when they use misogynistic language or the N-word, you know, because I'm more of a jazz fan, a lot of older guys are, and so, you know, the music itself, you know, I mean, good music is good music.
Right.
Okay, I'm not saying that his music is good music, but I just will go ahead and just tune it out, and the thing that I got on myself about once I found out about this young fella was to say, man, you have got to listen
yes,
even more close because of the times that we're in, you know?
I agree.
And, you know, when you talk about, we call it leaders, I think we all are can be leaders and examples. I mean, because
Absolutely.
As much stuff as me personally that I talk as far as positive things, I can't walk past pieces of paper and not pick them up.
And not do something.
Not
I like you saying
a young
that.
Man.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? When I see a young man who needs help and I can't help him, I can't not do that. And I think most of us need to, I think, take that on as our mantle. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Thank you so much, Brad. Yeah. Folks, I just want to kind of to bring some sense to this, because in talking about Nipsey Hussle, I'm getting texts now saying that people can't believe that I have spent the entire show talking about this. I want to go back so we're all understanding what we're talking about here, because I don't want you to tune out saying, well, she's doing a show about this rapper I've never heard of. No, we're using the life of this young person. I can call him a young person because he impacted the lives of millions of people. When it becomes part of the congressional record to honor his life and legacy, he was doing something to change lives, folks. We started this show by telling you that our word for the day is important. Our word for the day is something we're focused on, and I've been saying it over and over again for my young people, perspicacity. That is the word that I've been thinking and meditating a lot on. And perspicacity means having a penetrating discernment. And it's interesting because my oldest son has been thinking about perspicacity as well. When he heard it used, he actually went, he looked it up and used it in one of his papers. Like, he wanted to make sure that when we get a new word, myself included, we want to bring it into our conversation. But perspicacity is about having a penetrating discernment. Are you willing to take a long look at who you are and how you're going to be remembered? Nipsey Hussle said, and I'm quoting here, more people will be at my funeral than my birthday because they'll rather see me on my back than on my feet. How are you setting yourself up to be remembered? When I spend time with young people, I talk about changing your narrative. When I did my teen summit at the Academy of College and Career Exploration, they call themselves ACE, I asked the young people, what is the narrative that you're creating? Just because you're from Baltimore, you're from an economically challenged community, that doesn't have to be where you finish, because where you start doesn't have to be where you finish. Think about Nipsey Hussle, folks. Where you start doesn't have to be where you finish. And if Nipsey Hussle's not someone you connect to, hey, folks, think about Malcolm Little, okay? So you may not know that Malcolm Little became Reds before he became Malcolm X, that he was dealing drugs and doing numbers and went to prison long before he became the man that you're probably quoting today. Like, folks, when they grow and they change. What is your legacy? I also said that our second word of the day is Sankofa. This is from the Twi language of Ghana, and it challenges you about moving forward, feet moving forward, while head is looking back, which means you remember from whence you came. We, as Black folks in this city, we need to move forward, but remember from whence we came. We shouldn't end up in the same spot talking about the same issues this time next year. We shouldn't. The fact it's been 10 years and we dealt with Mayor Dixon and now we're dealing with Mayor Pugh and perhaps a similar situation. We shouldn't have to deal with that. Nipsey Hussle is just a lens, folks, through which we can talk about these issues, through which we can challenge ourselves to do more for our community. When's the last time you made a commitment to spending your money in Black Baltimore? When is the last time that you made a commitment to helping to uplift a young brother or sister? You know, I'm not going deep into lifting up Islam. I'm not going into lifting up any religion. I'm talking about the impact that Nipsey Hussle had in his community and whether or not you are having that same impact. I'm not talking about you becoming a rapper. I'm not talking about your kids becoming rappers. I'm talking about a man who made money and then turned that money back around and put it in his community. Let's not forget, folks, that all the research shows that a dollar stays in the black community less than 6 hours, which means we get a dollar and we don't spend it in our own community. Less than 6 hours in our community. When's the last time you made a commitment to your own community? Well, you didn't practice respectability politics. Well, you decided the right kind of black person you wanted to help. But you said, you know what? If anyone's suffering, if anyone is suffering, then a sense we are all suffering. Isn't that what Dr. King said? That oppression anywhere is a threat to oppression everywhere? Like, that's his teaching. You can bring in Dr. King if you want. If you look at the Bible, it says the same thing about how we are all called to do more, to lean in, to take on the suffering of others. And I'm not saying Nipsey Hussle was a god. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he was perfect. I'm saying, is there a lesson here for us to learn? We have Fred on the phone from East Baltimore. Fred, how are you?
Dr. K.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I saw you on the show the other night. It was a great show.
Thank you.
This guy, Nipsey, I mean, they say the good die young, don't they?
Oh, yes.
His brother was 33. Nipsey, but Malcolm was 35.
And Martin was 39.
39.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, 33.
Yes.
Some of the greatest amongst us left here too early, too soon.
I agree.
His brother was bad. I didn't know much about him, until he passed. But after looking at his resume,
oh, yeah.
Just imagine, when Obama became president, he was 25. Mm. 24, 25. And he made that transition in those, 5, 6, 7, 8 years to where he is now. Had a more effect on the black community than President Obama. Mm. So it's changing the scenario for what we should do, go back and do. Because I still haven't seen Obama go back to Chicago and do anything except for build a library.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about moving back to your own community and drilling down deep. I want to make
one other thing that I say, Doc. Sure. You said buy black in Baltimore. You would spend an entire day almost trying to make your life flow by everything black in Baltimore and every place else.
You know what's interesting? And I'm so glad you said that, Fred, because you have challenged us to do a show. There's a young person who went and did a whole YouTube video about buying black in Baltimore. He spent the whole day doing exactly what you just said. Can I only buy black? So we're going to track that video down. And what we'll look to do is have him on the show, because I like to investigate. Can you just buy black?
You'd be in trouble, I'll tell you that.
Thank you so much, Fred. I appreciate
you.
Folks, we have a clip from Lauren London. I'm looking at Justina. Lauren London was involved with Nipsey Hussle. She is the mother of his youngest son. He also has an older daughter, and they were helping and together co-raising Lauren London's oldest son, his father's little Wayne. So it was a combined family. But she made a statement. Let's hear from her.
Anything like this, so bear with me, y'all. Aramis was asleep one morning, and I was watching him because I used to love to just watch him sleep. And I wrote him a text while he was sleeping so that when he woke up, he would read it. And so I'm going to share with you that text, and then I'll go into my little stories about him that were special to me. Aramis, I want you to know that I feel real joy in my heart when I'm around you. I feel safe around you, protected, like a shield over me when you're around. I'm totally myself when I'm with you, which is probably annoying because I don't wear my cool mask anymore. You've made me into more of a woman. You've given me the opportunity to really love a man. You've been with me while I've been sick, through all my fears. You have encouraged me and inspired me to reach higher. I've learned so much about myself with you. You've been my turn up and my church. I wouldn't want to go through this journey with anyone but you. I look up to you in a lot of ways, and I strive to educate myself more like you have. And when we are at odds, I feel defeated and sad, knowing that we are so much better than that. I just want you to know that you've been the greatest boyfriend to me. You aren't perfect, but I would never ask you to be. You and I work, we fit, and you're the coolest guy in the world.
That was Lauren London, who was involved with Nipsey Hussle. She is the mother of his youngest child, his son. And she was just speaking about how he made her a better person. Folks, I think that's where we just want to rest on for just a moment. Because I know we've talked a lot about Nipsey Hussle, but we also brought in some discussion about Reverend Al Sharpton. We brought in some discussion about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In talking to Fred, and we were talking about how the good die young. I can't help but want to add Medgar Evers. I mean, he was murdered at the age of 37 in his own driveway. Let's not forget his work and his commitment to the struggle. Folks, we need to be better. I think that it's now time for us to have what I've just kind of been labeling as my word for today, perspicacity. We need a penetrating discernment. Who are the people in your life who are holding you accountable? Who are the people in your life who are pushing you to be more than what you are at this moment? For me, it's my husband, Johnny. He pushes me to be better. He challenges me to do more. He wants me to stand tall as a woman of my word. I do that so that my sons can see consistency in my life. I challenge you to do the same. Make an appointment. Meet me back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Why don't we have another conversation about a story that matters? Stay tuned, folks, because coming up after the break, it will be For the Culture with Faraja. He's on location at the Talk with Al Sharpton. You'll have a one-on-one with him, and I'll talk with you tomorrow.